Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
Please be seated. We'll say something about this great feast of the remission of the Mother of God. As we know, this feast is sometimes called the Summer Pascha. And often, for people who are new to Orthodoxy, this doesn't always sit well with them. There's only one Pascha, the Pascha of Christ, they might say. And yet we know that supremely glorious is the Pascha of Christ, but it is not singular. The Mother of God is a second Pascha for us in the liturgical year, and there will be many more Paschas to come, because Christ came to deliver all of us from death and bring us into life, to help us pass over from this age to the next, from this earth to heaven. Pascha is something that begins with Christ but continues with the Mother of God and with all of us. And we celebrate this today. The Mother of God is an example for us in many ways. And often, though, she sometimes seems too lofty, too high, too glorious. We have that wonderful hymn, "We're honorable than the cherubim, and more glorious beyond compare than the seraphim." She's the highest of the ranks of the angels, and she exceeds them. And sometimes we think, well, how can we ascend to those heights? She was the one who combined her virginity with motherhood, a miracle never before performed and will never happen again. She was the one who became the ladder, the gate, the house of God, the temple, the ark. She fulfilled all of these images. How can we even think of coming close to that? And the answer is, quite simply, we can't. She is unique. She had a role that no one else had or will have. She gave birth to Christ and became the Mother of God. But she was also a daughter of Adam. And she was among those who followed Christ and was redeemed and saved. And in all of those things, we can be like her. And in fact, we must be like her. I want to share with you three things about her life that we can emulate. And these are three things that we see in her life after the Lord ascends to heaven and after Pentecost. We see these things in the life of the early church. First, she was, as the tradition tells us, the first pilgrim. She went around to all of the holy places where her son had walked, where he had taught, where he had worked miracles. Her favorite places to go were Bethlehem, where she gave birth to him, Golgotha, where he offered his life up for the world, to the tomb, where he had risen from the dead, to the Mount of Olives, from where he ascended to heaven. She visited all of these places, and she remembered everything that had happened, pondering these things, as the scriptures say, in her heart. And for us, we can do the same thing. And it doesn't take a flight to Israel, to Palestine, to the Holy Land. It can simply be opening up the Gospels, reading of the life and teachings of Christ. And in so doing, we can ponder these things too. We can also come to the feast days. The 12 great feasts of the church bring us mystically to these places. And we travel there with the Mother of God, with the saints from every generation. And we're there mystically with Christ, incorporated into his life through the church. This is open to us, to be a pilgrim, like the Mother of God. Secondly, we can learn to pray like she prayed. Mother of God had an extraordinary relationship with her son. He took up residence within her womb, within her own body. She carried him. And after giving birth, she continued to have that close bond as a mother and son would have. But that bond was not just a bond of the flesh, but that was a bond of the spirit. That she was united to Christ in mystical communion in her mind, in her heart, in her will. In her whole being, she was offering that to Christ, to her son, so that she would never be separate from him, even after his ascent into heaven. She was in mystical communion with her son. This is open to us too. the wonderful prayer in the church called the Jesus Prayer, where we say the Jesus Prayer with our lips, with our mind, with our heart, and then we learn to say it with our whole body, offering our whole self to Christ as we say this Jesus Prayer, as we become one with Him. And finally, the third thing that's open to each and every one of us is to realize Christ's presence in the church. To realize that, yes, He ascended to heaven, but He is still with us, even unto the end of the age. He is the head of the church, and we are His body. That Christ is as much present here and now as He was in every preceding generation. As much present as when He walked on the earth. That Christ is still here with us in the body of the church. And the Mother of God knew that. She loved to be around her brothers and sisters in Christ, fellow Christians. She loved to talk to them, to pray with them, to fast with them, to receive Holy Communion with them, to live in this mystical body of Christ. She had that knowledge that Christ is in His church. And this is open to us. Now we might say, this is wonderful, but in the icon it shows Christ coming down and receiving her soul into His hands. He was present at her funeral, at this Pascha, at this Passover. Well, how can that happen with us? I tell you, that's what happens at every Orthodox funeral. Christ comes, and He receives the soul of the departed. And He comes amongst each and every one of us and assures us of that resurrection, of that translation, of that gospel. Brothers and sisters, what we see in the Mother of God is the example of one who is saved, one who follows Christ, one whom we can be like. Let us be people that live our faith, that study the scriptures, that attend the services, that pray deeply, that devote our minds, our hearts, and our wills, and our whole being to Christ. Let us be people who are assured of His presence here in the church, working those same wonders and those same miracles in our presence, bringing us all together with the Mother of God into that Pascha. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.